Jen Zamperali on 2FM with Leia Healthcare. Always a beat ahead. Visit leiahealthcare.ie. Leia Healthcare, looking after you always.
Do you sleep well? Oh, it's a good question. It's a loaded question. It sounds like an easy question, but it seems getting consistently good sleep evades most of us. It really does. And why is that? And why is it so hard? And has it changed over the years? And are we more sleep deprived now than ever? Well, in studio and joining me now is sleep professional Sheena Dunn, who can hopefully help us get a good night's kip. Hopefully that can happen with some tips and tricks.
Hi, Jen.
Hi.
Great to be here.
So tell us about you. How did you become an expert in sleep? What drew you to it, first of all?
Yeah. Well, hello. I'm Sheena Dunn and I am the founder of Siest Sleep. What drew me, I think I actually just don't like being told what to do.
Okay.
So literally, I think that's what started me. I was not sleeping and we had a young daughter and all of the rules around sleep are really rigid. So I kept getting told, you need to get 8 hours, your room needs to be like this. And I'm like, "What? How is that possible in a world of small children?"
Mm-hmm.
So I guess just the constant structure around sleep rules actually really annoyed me.
Okay.
And I think that's what drove me, because I thought, well, this can't be the answer. I can't just be not fitting the mold.
Okay.
Like I'm very normal, mm-hmm. Having a small child, being probably stressed at work. So
these are normal things?
Normal, absolutely.
These are normal things.
And I went to the doctor and I did what most people do. You get your bloods tested and all these things. And I just kept getting told, just let it lie. And again, I hate being told to do that as well. So I'm deeply curious.
So your curiosity got the better of you. So you went to study it. So how many hours were you getting or not getting?
So I was probably getting about 5. But I think more to the point is, because 5 might be enough for someone,
yeah.
You know, it was, I really didn't feel like myself.
Okay.
So like I was snappy. I'd be quite a passionate person to anyone who knows me.
Mm-hmm.
But I was feeling a bit more anxious, which really wasn't me. And I didn't feel like myself and I knew something was wrong. So when I was told maybe you need like a sleeping tablet, I was like, that's ridiculous. That's just going to sedate me as opposed to actually trying to help.
Okay.
So then I started learning everything I could about sleep. But I didn't go back to Oxford until actually after I started the business and after I invented a sleep product.
Okay.
So I actually created a sleep product during lockdown.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought the only way to help someone who's tired is with something quick. So right now, most people will lean on sleep medication because they're fast. And I absolutely understand that because you're way too tired to change your routine, which again is what a lot of the sleep professionals will tell you to do,
mm-hmm.
to change everything. And when you're tired, you can't. So I needed to create something that was fast and worked quickly, but also had no side effects, because there's a lot more knowledge and research coming out about sleeping tablets and the impact that they can have or not have.
What's the most usual question you get asked when you say you're a sleep professional? What do people say to you?
Yeah, great question. Well, it's amazing how open people are. I think people are really keen to talk about their sleep, which is great, because from my point of view, I want more and more people to be focused on sleep. The 3 probably main questions are, how do I stop my partner snoring?
Yes.
And then why do I wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning? And how do I stop? How do I go back to sleep more easily?
Okay.
So how do I go to sleep and go back to sleep more easily?
And what's your answer to those
very important
questions?
My answer, first of all, to the waking up at 3 a.m. is you're very normal. So I think there's a bit of a misinformation around sleep is that you should go to sleep and then only wake up either naturally at 7 o'clock or when your alarm goes off.
Okay.
And that just simply isn't true.
Okay.
So as you get older, you will wake up more and more during the night because you have lots of sleep cycles. So it is very natural to wake up.
And it's normal. That's interesting you said that, because I am finding that my parents, for example, they're like, oh, I was up in the middle of the night. Oh, I'm awake. And them probably feeling that that's not normal,
mm-hmm.
and stressing them out even more. And then they can't go back to sleep or whatever. So that's a normal thing.
Really
is it
normal.
To your biological clock or your what's that to do with?
So you have about 4 or 5 sleep cycles.
Sleep cycles.
So they're just sort of when you go through through like falling asleep, being more sleepy, having deeper sleep, and then REM, which a lot of people will probably know about. And you just have a number of those cycles. I think anyone with a small baby really understands sleep cycles, but you sort of might forget that actually as an adult, you'll have those as well. And you'll just have a lighter sleep and that might then wake you up in the middle of the night.
Okay.
The thing I suppose to focus on if you are waking up in the middle of the night is don't give up on your sleep. So say you wake at three, which is a very common time. Don't then start doing things that really stimulate your body and activate your awakeness, basically.
Your phone.
So don't go on your phone. Don't like make yourself a cup of tea, start reading a book, do that workout that you thought you might like to do. So the key is to, if you can, to try and relax in that moment, recognizing that it's really normal, and try and just encourage your body to fall back asleep again.
Is there value in lying there and just resting? Like, is there value in just lying down? And even though you can't get into that deep sleep, is there value for your rest in that and just lying there and doing nothing?
So like in the same way that I hate being told what to do, I also hate, I disagree with the idea that everyone is the same. So do you remember in like the 90s, everyone was told that you had to be a size zero or a size eight and diet was all around that, that focus. We're sort of doing the same with sleep. So it's very binary currently, which is it's either right or wrong. And I think, Our focus at Siest is that there's lots of different possibilities. So someone who maybe has a circadian rhythm disorder or who has insomnia probably shouldn't go to bed until they are tired.
Okay.
Because lying there will actually cause them more challenges. But someone who is just having maybe a difficult time getting to sleep, but it isn't any sort of chronic disorder, they should try relaxation techniques and various tips to help. So I think it's really important that people don't just assume there's one answer and that can be applied.
And everybody needs the same amount of sleep and same type of rest is what you're talking a lot about. Okay, let's talk about some of the main issues. Let's talk about caffeine. Is this a matter of the individual in question, as you keep saying? Do you know your own self and your own tolerance when it comes to caffeine? Or is it like, don't drink any caffeine after 12 o'clock, which we hear so often?
So often. I suppose we hear it so often because it's quite easy. I was really lucky, actually. A couple of years ago at the Irish Sleep Society, there was an amazing researcher. Now, his job is actually to test mice with sleep products and do the research in Europe on sleep. And he was talking about how caffeine wasn't affecting them with respect to sleep. So most sleep pharmaceuticals will start with animal testing. And I said, well, why don't more people know about this? And he said that the challenge at the moment in the world is the knowledge is out there that caffeine is bad, and it's very hard to change that perception. So I suppose from our point of view at Siest and me, what I would always say is look around your friend group. There's probably someone who can have an espresso after dinner and be grand.
My husband.
Yeah. But even just take it that simply.
Yeah. And he's no problem sleeping.
And it'd be fine. But personally, I could only have maybe one or two coffees a day. And I know that it will affect my sleep later on because it's all about stimulants. So light stimulus, food stimulus, mental as well. So again, some people are really relaxed with them. You know, the true crime podcasts, they actually relaxes them. Other people, it'll be the only thing they'll think about and it'll keep them awake all night. So I would focus on what stimulates you and then try and better understand that. And that'll help you start thinking about what approach you need to take to your own sleep.
I can't sleep unless I do my list for the next day, my to-do list. I can't relax. I can't even pick up the book unless I put in my phone what I need to do the next day and just re-look over my diary and see and just get organized. I know what my triggers are and what's going to help me relax. It sounds like to have a good night's sleep, you really need to tune in to yourself and listen to your body and try and figure those questions out.
Yeah, which again, I know is really hard. Yeah. Like, obviously, I love sleep and I'm obsessed with sleep. But what I would say to people who don't really have the time to start focusing on their sleep and who are really tired at the moment, I would choose one thing. And that thing I would choose is light. I would choose focus on natural light and artificial light. So the light in the morning. There's amazing new research from Russell Foster. I think you might have had him on recently. So
yes.
He's a... He's literally one of the leading voices in sleep. Phenomenal human. But he's also actually discovered the new cells in the eyes that actually help you sleep, basically. So I would focus on light in the morning, and I would get out and get sunlight, but I wouldn't have your sunglasses on. Mm-hmm. So go out in the morning and know that you're doing a really good thing for your sleep. And then also just watch your artificial light in the evening.
Okay.
As well.
Okay. Now, you touched on it there earlier, and we have to go back to it, because you said a lot of people talk to you or ask you about their partner snoring and what they can do. Do you just tell them to go into the other room? What do you say to that? Is there anything that can be done with a chronic snorer?
Yeah, well, I suppose most people have one bedroom for their kids and one bedroom for themselves. So this other room, you couldn't be sleeping on a couch, you know, the way the whole time, or the stairs, whatever. So I think the first thing to do is you need to establish if the snoring is part of a bigger problem. So sleep apnea. For people who don't know, it's a breathing related disorder. So you'll notice it in your partner if they start sort of gasping for breath and snoring. So if you notice that, you actually need to go to your GP and try and get a sleep study. The second one is positional. So if you sleep on your side, it can help with snoring as well.
Yeah.
So once you've ruled out that it's not something more serious. So we have a weighted sleep product which helps people with positional sleep apnea. And I would do that. Earplugs definitely help. And then again, look at the stimulants for that person. So some people will be more heavily affected by alcohol. If they do consume a lot of alcohol, they will then probably snore, or if they eat later at night. So just to have an open discussion.
Okay, interesting. He does love an old snack in the evening with his coffee or whatever. So that might be a trigger, and we need to get onto that. Okay, so what about those times when you really have no choice but to not sleep, as in when you're a new parent? We touched on this. Is there anything that you can do to help with that exhaustion?
One is, it's really normal, and it's really, there isn't a lot of solutions at the moment. I think society needs to actually better understand how we can create support for new parents and parents of small children with respect to their employment, etc. I think napping, so our business is called Siesta, which is linked to siesta. So napping and light are actually two things that are being studied a lot at the moment, the benefits of napping. And I'm a huge advocate of napping.
Interesting, because we touched on this the other day. So what are we talking here nap-wise? Time of day, length of the nap, what is optimal benefits when we're talking about napping?
Yeah, and you can do trial and error to see what works more for you. But there's Colin Espy, who's one of the top professors in Oxford, talks about nano-naps. And these are maybe 10 minutes where you can lie on a couch or lie in your bed, and you're just helping your body shut down, basically. And to do that, don't do it right before bedtime, because then you probably won't sleep later on in the night. So try and do it before lunch. But I would encourage napping if you're not getting the right amount of sleep, and if you cannot change your sleep patterns for whatever reason, whether it's you're a shift worker or you have small children. But Tom Coleman is actually really focused on shift work at the moment. It's very poorly understood, and that's another very exciting area for sleep to help help people better understand how they can combat some of the effects of not getting the required amount of sleep.
That's interesting. A lot of new parents probably listen going, I can nano nap. I can manage that. Mm-hmm. That is something I can do. Okay, so people worry a lot about sleep. I can tell from the text coming in, which probably makes the whole situation worse. Should we worry if we're not getting sleep?
So, I don't want anyone to worry. It's not something that we want. But what is good is that people prioritize. So sometimes the worry will come first, and then it'll help people prioritize.
Okay.
Which isn't a bad thing.
Okay.
Then once you've decided to focus on sleep, then it's about learning what works for you and how to improve your sleep. So stress about it if it leads to action about understanding how your sleep can be improved.
Sheena Dunn, thank you so much for coming in. Really interesting stuff. And I love that it's so individual to people, and you don't have to get a certain amount of sleep or do a certain thing, but you need to definitely tap into yourself. Can you give people your website so they can check you out and all that you do?
Yeah, so we've invented a weighted sleep product, and it's from children age 5+. stays cool and fresh. It's Siest, S-I-E-S-T, sleep.com.
There we go.
Jen Zamparelli on 2FM with Leia Healthcare. Always a beat ahead. Visit leiahealthcare.ie. Leia Healthcare, looking after you always.